Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
We really had a great time with the four cups that we did Easter week, and hopefully you were blessed by that and really encouraged in the Lord and the four cups. But today I want to talk about a new series today we're calling Live Your Calling. Live Your Calling. And one of the most beloved verses that we have in the Bible is Romans 8:28. How many have heard Romans 8:28? I think we've heard it 100 of times, and it starts out this way. It says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him." How many know that? Man, that is a good verse. The problem is we usually stop right there. That's where we stop. We usually stop right there, and we leave off the second half of that great promise. And we start out with this: we know in all things, not just the good things, but the bad things. In all things, not just the things we like, but the things we don't like. Not just the things we care about, but even the things we don't care about. In all things, everything. How many know God is at work? In all of those things, God is at work. And He's in work, and God is at work for the good of those who love Him. Now, let me clarify something. I've said it before, but I want to say it again. It doesn't say that all of those circumstances are good. How many know there are just some circumstances that are just bad? They're bad. We can admit that. There are circumstances that are bad. Whenever somebody shoots up a school or shoots up a place, how many know that's bad? Whenever we see poverty that's out there, whenever we see injustice, human trafficking, whenever we see disease like cancer or MS or something like that, that is bad, right? That's bad. When we see somebody that loses their life tragically to a drug over, that's bad. Those circumstances are bad. This is not saying that all circumstances are good, but what it is saying is that God works in all circumstances. Even the bad circumstances, even the difficult circumstances, we can trust that God is working, and He has a way of turning around even the bad things, even the things that aren't good, the tragic things. He has a way of turning them around for His good, for the good of those who love Him. So if you love Jesus this morning, if you say, "Man, I love Jesus this morning," you can trust that God is at work, that even if there are bad, tragic things happening in your life, that God is at work and that He can use those circumstances, no matter how bad they are, for good in your life. That's what it talks about. Now, more than just that, the rest of the verse says this: "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose." Two words I want you to highlight or focus on this morning, and that is this. The first one is called, and the second one is purpose. Called and purpose. I bring your attention to these two words because they go together. There is a call towards the purpose that God has for your life. God has a calling for a purpose that He has already set out in your life. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next couple weeks. We're going to talk about the calling and the purpose of God. And if I were to say to you the word call, what's the first thing that you may think of? I think for me, when I think of the word call, sometimes what comes to mind is calling for pizza. You know? I don't know what your favorite pizza place is, but man, you're just out there. I don't know about you, sometimes I just get a hunger for pizza. I don't know what it is. When Jamie and I first got married, and we were in the Poconos as youth pastors in Stroudsburg, and there was this little place, this little pizza place, and man, we would just sometimes, we both worked at the church, we would sometimes come home, and it would be like, "Yeah, you feeling that too?" And we just order this pizza, and then we just sit down, and we just open this pizza box up and dig in. I swear they put something in it that kept me coming back and coming back. I don't know what that is, you know, but sometimes you think about pizza, but can I be honest with you? When it really comes to call and telephones and phone call, I mean, we're going to talk about what call means, but sometimes when we think of calls, we think of telephones. I got to be honest with you. When I think of telephones, as a pastor, and this is a confession, okay? This is a confession of your pastor. I really don't like the phone. I don't like the telephone. I mean, there's a lot of other things you do with these things today, but when it comes to why? Because for me, the telephone, oftentimes when that phone rings, it usually means an interruption. Now, maybe that's not for you, but as a pastor who's on call, and this week I had the ER line, and I've been on call 24 hours and get calls in the middle of the night and those kind of things. Usually when a phone call comes, it's usually an interruption. I'm usually in the middle of something, maybe in the middle of sleep when the alarm company calls because somebody set off the alarm and got to get here at, you know, midnight and come up here and meet the police for nobody really being in the building. Kevin can identify, right, Kevin? You can identify with that. Kevin's our facility manager here, and he gets calls like that too. Oh, it usually means an interruption, you know, or you're in the middle of something, maybe something with family, and that phone goes off, and so sometimes it's an interruption. The other thing is, rarely is it ever good news. Usually when people call, it's usually that they've been rushed to the hospital. Usually, somebody, a loved one has passed away. Usually when you get a call, usually as a pastor, you know, so it's like that. Rarely, you know, so when the phone rings, I'm not thinking, oh, the Publisher's Clearinghouse has called, and man, woohoo, you know, I'm usually not thinking that, but what if the telephone rang and somebody did call you and they said, hey, you have a long lost relative you didn't know about, but they knew about you and they put you in their will, and man, they left you millions and millions of dollars. Wouldn't that be, man, those are things we dream of, right? Man, God, yeah, I tithe and look what happened. Hallelujah. It doesn't work like that. All right. Can I just say that? It doesn't usually work like that. That's not the way it works. But let me tell you something. God has called you. God has called you. And let me tell you something. If God calls you, you don't let it go to voicemail. All right? If God calls you, don't let it ring, 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 ring. If God calls you, don't put it on silent all of a sudden. You know? Hopefully you put your cell phones on silent. I just thought about that. I happen to do that. But when God calls you, pick up the phone. But the truth is, God has already called you. God has already called. I don't know if you realize this, but God has already called you, and he's called you according to his purpose. A couple of verses down from Romans 8:28 is Romans 8:30 that says this: those that God predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Now, how many know there's a lot of big theological words in there? Right? There's a lot of them. And we're going to cover some of those in the weeks ahead, but today I just want to give an intro. I just want to introduce us to the subject of calling. I just want to talk about this area of calling. Now, the Greek word for call is kaleo. Everybody say kaleo. Kaleo. I like kaleo. That sounds good. That's the Greek word for call. It's used about 100 times in the New Testament. And usually when it's used about your assignment in life, what God's assignment is. So when kaleo is used, it's used usually in conjunction with purpose, with the mission in your life, with the reason that God created you. It's your calling. Now, there's a Latin word, and the Latin word for call is where we get the word vocation from. Vocation. Vocation comes from the Latin word voce or vocare, and it means to speak, it means to call. It's where we get the word voice from, where we get the word vocal from. Vocalize comes from the word vocation, and that too is your calling. So you have your vocation and your calling, and they're the same thing. But here's the problem. Today, when we hear the word vocation, what word comes to mind? Job. Your job. Let me just clear something up. Your vocation goes way beyond your job. Vocation and job are not the same thing. We don't get the word job in the Latin or the Greek from the word vocation. The word vocation is tied to the word calling. Your calling is not your career. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about this in the weeks ahead, but your calling is not your career. Your calling is far, far, far more significant. It's larger, far more encompassing than your career ever could be. Vocation is often misused, and it's tied to this thing of job, and so we get this thing in our head that if I have a calling from God, then that means I've got to quit everything, and I've got to let that be what supports me. And that's not always the case. Sometimes it is, but it's not always the case. The Bible is a story, filled with stories of God calling people. The whole Bible is about God calling people. God spoke to Noah and called Noah and said, Noah, I'm calling you out. I've got plans for you. I want you to build an ark. The calling was to build an ark. The calling was to build a boat. That's what God had called him to. God called Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm calling you to be a great nation, to set yourself apart. I'm calling you. I'm setting you apart because I've got a promise for your life. God calling Moses for Moses' purpose, and Moses responding. Moses responded as a shepherd when God called him. His job was shepherding, but his calling went way beyond that. In a little bit, I'm going to talk specifically about Moses in that way. God called Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer, turned builder and leader. God called Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. God called David. God called Solomon. In the New Testament, he called Peter, Paul, and Mary. Some of you are old. Because there's young people that are going, what was so funny about that? I don't get it. All right, that's for the old people, all right? I called you old. Guess what? I can do that now because I'm old. I'm old. The truth is, God's call is on everybody's person in life. And over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about five specific dimensions of God's call. Five specific dimensions of God's call. And what you're to do as you live out the calling that God has and fulfilling the call God has for your life. So as your pastor, this is my prayer. Over the next several weeks as we go through this, this is my prayer for you. And it's a prayer that Paul wrote down in Ephesians chapter 1, 18 and 19. And I'm going to make it my prayer. I've been praying this before this series, and I'm going to be praying this over you throughout this series. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. My prayer is that the light will flood your hearts and that you will understand the hope that was given when God called you. Then you will discover, this is why I'm praying this, then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all God's people. Let me tell you something. When you begin to understand God's calling, when you begin to operate in that calling, again, not a job, a calling. When you begin to understand God's calling and you walk in that calling, you will experience a fulfillment, an abundant life and blessing. I'm not saying your life gets easy. I'm not saying you're going to fall into all this whatever. But I'm saying that people who don't walk in their calling don't understand the joy that Jesus really wants to bring, because he has created you. He has knit you together. He has created you for a specific purpose and has a calling. And as you begin to fulfill that calling and as you see God use your life in amazing ways, you begin to experience a joy that goes beyond any material things you could ever find in this world, any successes, any ladders you could ever climb in your job, no matter how much money you could ever make. When you are functioning in your calling, there is a fulfillment that goes beyond all of that. And too many people today have been robbed by the enemy, who's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he has tricked us into pursuing the wrong things. Rather than the calling of God, we pursue other avenues and we're missing out on the fulfillment that Jesus wants to bring into our lives. And as we go through this, some of you are going to, the Lord's going to speak to you through this, and you're going to experience, you're going to hear his voice in your calling, and it's going to wreck your world, all right? I'm praying God wrecks some of your world. Some of you have gotten complacent and you just, what's going on? And you've been desiring more and you haven't known what it is. I'm praying God wrecks you and that he speaks to you. And I want to walk with you through that. So today I want to introduce you to six truths you need to know about calling in life. First of all, your calling is a gift from God. My calling is a gift from God. I don't bargain for it. I don't barter from it. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. In fact, oftentimes when it comes to the word gift in Scripture, it's the same word that we use, grace, the grace that is upon you. This is a grace that is given. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. You don't bargain for it. There's nothing you can do to kind of try to, you know, manipulate. And I want this and I want, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. Galatians 1:6. Says this, God by his grace through Christ has called you to become his people. That's the first calling. The first calling by God is through salvation, is to be a part of his people. As we talked about last week in the last cup that we talked about, sipping from that cup, Jesus, the promise that God made in the Old Testament with that was, I'm going to take you and set you apart to be my people. God wants you to be a part of his family. He wants you to be a part of his people. And so that's the first grace. Grace comes even though God knows every dumb mistake you've ever made. He still calls you, right? He knew all the times you'd disobey, and he still called you. That's the grace of God. That's the calling. That's actually part of salvation. You weren't called just to so you can get a ticket to go to heaven. You were called because God said, I'm setting you apart because I've got a purpose and a plan and a calling for your life. 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. When God saves us, he calls us. He calls us. He sets us apart for himself. Secondly, I'm called for God's purpose. I'm not called for my purpose. I'm not called for my plan. I'm called for His plan. I'm called for God's plan. He didn't just create you so that you could live a selfish, selfie life. You know, we're all about the selfie life. Right? I should take a selfie with all of you and post it right now. God didn't call us to the selfie life. It's not all about the selfish life. God has called you for His purpose, His plan. And you'll get frustrated if you keep living for yourself all the time. You got to understand, I am called for God's purpose. God's calling is about His plan in my life, not my plan. Not what I dream of, not what my parents dreamed of, not what my spouse dreams of. What does God have for my life? And I think one example of this is Jeremiah. I think of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. He was the son of one of the priests in the territory of the tribe of Benjamin. And one day, the Bible says, the Lord came to him, and this is what the Lord said to him in Jeremiah 1:5. He said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." How many know that's early? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And then it says this, "Not only did I know you, but before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." God said there was a calling on your life. There was a purpose for your life. Even before you were born, while you were in the womb, I had a plan and a purpose for your life. Can I just say, parents, one of the jobs you have as a parent, one of the stewardship jobs you have is help your kids hear from God to discover God's calling and purpose for their lives. I know you've got purpose and plans. You want to see your kids be a doctor. You want to see your kids, you know, go and be successful and whatever. And that's wonderful. But is that what God wants? Because your kids will never be happy until they discover what God really has for their life. They'll never truly be fulfilled as long as they're pursuing a purpose and a plan you have, but they don't discover the plan that God has for their life. That's part of the surrendering process. And God knew, and so He called Jeremiah. He said, "I set you apart right from the start. I have set you apart." And Jeremiah protested, like many of us sometimes do when we understand the call of God. It's always so big. It's bigger than us. And we just, "No, it can't be me. I can't hear you. That couldn't be from you." And Jeremiah says, "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how I'm to speak. I'm too young." He says, "I'm not prepared for this. Wait a minute, you're wanting me to be what? A prophet to the nation? That's just too big. Can't I just be a priest over here? That's what I know. Can't I just do that?" God says, No. I've got a bigger purpose. I've got a greater plan for you. You know, personally, I was going to share just a little bit about this when I talked about how important youth camp was. 15, 16 years old, man, I had been going to youth camp, junior high camp, got to senior high camp, and man, they had the services. If you've ever been to camp, and this was Big Prairie, any Big Prairie people here? Only a few of you. That's just sad. Man, I'm old. Now we got Heartland. It's a really wonderful camp. It was really nicer than what we did. But I had the Big Prairie experience. And we used to have the first night was Salvation Night. You know, you go and you give your life to Christ all over again every year. You know what I'm talking about? Every year you just give your life to Christ. It was the Salvation Night. Because really, not everybody that goes to camp knows Jesus. And it was the get things right and give your life to Christ night. And you know, on the second night, man, we'd really press in and we'd get there. And the second night was all about repentance. And the third night was all about the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit night. And it was great. And the fourth night was all about your calling. It was all about God's call on your life. And I remember going down and responding down the altar. Man, the preaching was going. It was good. They had this camp evangelist and the worship. And man, I came down the altar. I remember sitting there, you know, at the altar. And I just praying and crying out. And God, I just, whatever you want, whatever you want, whatever you want. And there was just this, not lightning, not thunder, not, just this still small voice. Where I just felt God say, "I've called you to ministry. I called you to ministry." Just a still small voice inside. And I got to be honest with you. At that point, I just kind of accepted it. And then I moved on, and I went back home. And my parents, you know, I told them, and they said, "Hey, that's great." And I said, "Yeah, I feel like I need to go to Valley Forge Christian College." Now it's the University of Valley Forge. Before it was just a little Christian college. Now it's a university, whatever. "I feel like that's where I need to go." And my parents are like, "Well, you know, we really can't afford that. Have you ever considered YSU? Youngstown State, nothing wrong with Youngstown State University, but stay at home, you could save a lot of money, you could do this." They had their purpose and plan. And so that summer, I started working just to kind of pay car insurance and gas and those kind of things a teenager does. And I got a job at a pharmacy. Somebody in the church, a youth leader, suddenly took over this pharmacy, needed somebody to be a stock boy and to run the counter. And so I did that. And then I started working at McDonald's. And while we were trying to figure this out, I had this call, but my parents kept saying, I don't know, why don't you explore some other things? So, you know, I tried some other things. I had tried, you know, I had a cousin who was a physical therapist, and okay, I'll go try that. And I went there, and, you know, nothing wrong with physical therapy, but I walked out of there, and I said, well, that's just not for me. That's not my thing. It just wasn't for me. Anybody ever try that? You know, I kind of felt like David's armor. I kept trying to put on Saul's armor and all these things. It wasn't for me. And why? Because there was a calling. Because there was something. It wasn't big. It was just something on the inside. And no matter how many jobs I had, and they were a good job. I worked for McDonald's a long time. When I was in college, I did a couple of things. I worked at a janitorial service for a while, cleaned toilets for a while. Teen Challenge guys who work here, who's cleaning the toilets, God bless you. I know what that's like. I've done that. I've been there. It's an important job, man, cleaning toilets. But I know that wasn't my calling. That wasn't my thing. And you know, the thing is, I had an internship the following summer, and I got, you know, I was doing the cleaning. I was doing pretty good. They wanted to promote me to a kind of a shift supervisor and do that. And hey, will you stay here for the summer? And I said, no, I got a calling. This is my job, but I got a calling. There's a calling, and I got to do an internship. You know, McDonald's, they wanted to promote me to being a manager. My manager came to me and said, you don't need to go away to college. You know, you can work up the ranks. I'd like to promote you. If you go to school here, we'll pay for it, and you can, you know, be a man. I said, no, that's not what I'm called to do. This is a job. I need this to pay the bills, but this isn't my calling. This isn't my calling. And there was just something inside. And, you know, that's where it really begins. And it was something that God had placed inside of my heart, and it was a calling. I became a youth pastor, associate pastor all the way along. Now I'm a lead pastor. I don't know where this calling leads. I'm just kind of pursuing God in the calling. What is the calling in your life? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now there's a couple of things. Workmanship. It's the Greek word poema. It's where we get the word poem from. God says, you're a poem, you're a masterpiece. Some of the scriptures say masterpiece instead of workmanship. Masterpiece. You don't realize how valuable your life is. You are God's masterpiece. Some of you don't feel that way. You need to understand who you are in Christ Jesus, the value that He's placed on your life. You are His workmanship. He's created you. The Holy Spirit doesn't live in junk, folks. God doesn't create junk. Jesus didn't die for junk. He died for you because you're valuable, because He loves you. Second, good works. That's your contribution to the world. God has already set you apart. He's already called you. You're His workmanship. And He's got things already planned for you to do. We've got to walk in them. Why? Because the Lord is the one who actually does it. We just cooperate with Him. God's got a contribution for you to make. You've got a contribution to make. You've got a difference to make. You can make a difference in somebody's life. You can make a difference in the world. You can do it. Doesn't matter how old or young you are. You can make a difference. And thirdly, God prepared these in advance. In other words, He had thought about it. But like with Jeremiah, while you were in the womb, I knew you. God knew you while you were in the womb. He was putting everything together in you because He has a purpose and plan for your life. Thirdly, God chose my calling before I was born. We kind of alluded to this, and we saw it in Jeremiah's life, but Paul also kind of agrees to this. Galatians 1:15, it pleased God in His kindness to choose me and call me even before I was born. What undeserved mercy! Again, the calling of God tied to the grace of God and tied to even before we were born, God had this calling, this uniquely shaped, custom-made life. Psalm 139, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has a purpose and plan for your life. And He did it before He knew it. And He was knitting you together with that purpose in mind. Knitting you together with that calling in mind. That's why we can't live for ourselves. Because God created us for His glory. Created us for Him. For His purpose. For His glory. You know, sometimes we look and we say, well, is that everybody? Does God have a plan for everybody? You know, I came across a story. Some of you have probably seen this. It's very popular out there and on YouTube. And this guy's a guy that goes around. He does a lot of speaking and things. But his name is Nick Vujicic. I think I blew his last name. But Nick was born without hands, without arms, without legs. And I want to sort of share a little video right now just of Nick's story and Nick telling his story.
You know, I think a lot of people are waiting for God to change the circumstance to really
Phenomenal, huh? Yeah, that's it right there. You know, God chose Nick before Nick was ever born. Born without arms, born without legs, and a purpose for his life. And you know what? Nick has been used far more than any of us ever have to reach more people. And yet, he has more challenges in his life than you and I do. You know, God wants to use you. And he has called you before you were even born. God says, don't underestimate what I want to do in and through your life. Now, sometimes we say, but you know what? I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. Nick, you know, he came across that scripture of the man born blind and all that and discovered that call. But me, I've made a lot of mistakes. Man, I have sinned and all that. Number four, my mistakes and sins don't change my call. Now let me say how you use your call, how God uses you in your call, your circumstances, those kind of things might change. However, the calling of God is still upon your life. Paul was an angry guy. Paul was a religious zealot. He committed murder. He persecuted a lot of people. He was a terrorist at the time, a religious terrorist. And then he became an apostle, and he writes this in 1 Timothy 1:12 and 13. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. You know, if you say, you know what, I did a lot of dumb things growing up. You know what, I've done a lot of dumb things in my life. You know what, I've made a lot of mistakes. I've done a lot of things. Guess what? That's great news, because that's what God makes apostles out of. God can turn those things around. The grace of God applied to your life when you allow God to take those circumstances, when you allow God to forgive you of those sins, when you allow God to take the mistakes and to transform those mistakes and turn it around, he can turn it around into a testimony for his glory. That's what God does. I mean, think about it. God had a call on Moses' life. Moses' mother didn't do what she was supposed to do in terms of killing him. She put him in a little basket. She sent him down the river. God, in his grace, allowed Pharaoh's daughter to see him, have compassion, and take him in. And then he got to be raised by his mother by the grace of God, and got to live in the palace by the grace of God. And here he was living as a free man when the rest of his Jewish brothers and sisters were living as slaves. Here he was with an opportunity in the kingdom, an opportunity and a position to make a difference. And one day he's out seeing his Jewish brothers and sisters being mistreated, and he says, this shouldn't be. And he takes the matters and the calling in his life that God had already put there to be a deliverer. God had already put that in his heart to be a deliverer. And he took it into his own hands, and in his own way he committed murder. And then he tried to cover it up. But how many know you can't hide and cover things up? And it was exposed. And what did he do? In shame and in guilt and in fear, he ran. And he tried to avoid. And for 40 years, he was out as a shepherd. If I'm God, you know, and it's one of these things I'm saying, I had the call, I put you in the position, now you went and did this, it's over. It's done. It's done. But that wasn't the case. After wandering around as a shepherd, there's a burning bush. And all of a sudden, God calls Moses back to the calling that he had originally had for him, but different. This time, as Moses would be humble, called the humblest man who ever lived, because your circumstances, the sins you commit, the mistakes that you made, when you come before God and you humble yourself, God can take those things, he can turn it around in that humility, and he can say, if you will walk in my strength and in my power, not in your own pride, not in your own way, but you will walk humbly before me, that's a life I can use. That's the calling that God has. The calling that God has. Peter denied Jesus three times, and yet in Acts chapter 2, he's restored under the power of the Holy Spirit now, not self-confident, but Christ-confident, not self-confident, but confident through the Holy Spirit in his life, preaches with boldness, and 3,000 come to know Christ. Denying him in front of a little girl, now he's preaching. Why? Because God can turn it around, and the calling that was in his life did not go away. In fact, Romans 11:29 says that God's gifts and his calling are irrevocable. I think about Chuck Colson. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Chuck Colson, but He was one of the most powerful men in the world in his day. He was one of the assistants to the President of the United States. And he got involved in a scandal called Watergate. And he was put in prison. And in prison, it was there that he found Jesus Christ. And he became a believer. And he saw the need for the people in prisons to know the Lord. And he started Prison Fellowship that's now in like 150, 160 countries. Millions and millions of people blessed by this. When God created Chuck Colson, he knew that he was going to go from the presidency to the prison all in one life. And he said, you know what? I'm going to work it out for my good. I'm going to turn it around for my glory. Because I've got a purpose and a plan, and I can use that. God can use that. Fifthly, your calling is connected to others. This isn't just a calling that's uniquely to you. This is a calling that's a part of the body of Christ. You are called to the body of Christ. You are not called to be a lone ranger in your calling. There are too many people that feel the call of God and they want to do it on their own and they don't want to be a part of the body of Christ. They don't want to do it in conjunction with other believers. They don't want to do it in conjunction with the church. Hey, I can do this on my own. No, you're not supposed to. That's not the way it's not. Paul talks about calling it the body of Christ. You know, he talks about the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, he's talking about the church being his body. And I don't know about you, but the eye is an amazing thing, how it filters light and nerves. I don't understand all it transmits it to the brain and gives us an image that we see. But the eye outside of the socket is no good. The ear is amazing the way it can take the sounds that it receives and translate it into our brain and the nerve endings of our brain so that we can begin to hear and communicate. Yet the ear apart from your head is nothing. It profits nothing. Friends, there are all kinds of things. Your hand has an amazing ability to be able to grasp and write and fix things. But if your hand is cut off from the body, it is of no use. The calling of God, the gifts that God has placed in you, the calling and purpose, apart from the body of Christ, are useless. God calls us to His body. He calls the body of Christ His church. We're all members. Some of us are a hand. Some of us are an eye. Some of us are a nose, a feet. Romans 14:7, none of us lives to himself alone. None of us dies to himself alone. Like it or not, you're connected to us. Ephesians 4:4, we are all one body. We have the same spirit. We have all been called to the same glorious future hope. See, it's in connection to our community. It's in connection to this family that our calling is fulfilled. Hebrews 3:1, brothers and sisters, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are partners of this heavenly calling. How many know we are better together, friends? We are better as a team. That's why in church you have to be connected. You got to be connected to the church. And we're going to talk more about that calling, the calling to belong. Number six, God empowers what He calls me to do. God empowers what He calls me to do. In other words, whatever God has called you to do, He will empower you to do. If God has given you an assignment, He will give you the gifts and the tools and the ability to do it. He will give you those abilities to do it. God is never going to ask you to do something in your life that He won't give you the power to do. Moses made an excuse. He said, I'm not a good speaker. I can't do it. I'm not a good speaker. How am I, you know, and he called the burning bush. I can't do it. I'm not a good speaker. I just can't do this. It's not me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And this is how God replies. He says, who gave human beings their mouths? Oops. Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight and makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? God's saying, listen, I'm the creator, all right? I called you and I understand what kind of mouth you have, all right? And it's not about you being eloquent. It's not about you being that good. It's really about me using you and people looking back and going, God used that guy? If God can use that guy, God can use me. Wow, that's what it's all about. It's all about His glory. Jeremiah didn't feel qualified. I'm too young. And God responded, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. In other words, Jeremiah was a little afraid. He was a little intimidated. I don't feel I'm prepared for this. Maybe I need a few more years. Maybe I need a few more of this. Listen, if God has called you, you go and you do what God's calling you to do. He will equip you for the task. He will equip you for the task. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, And as we get ready to close, this is my prayer, and this was Paul's prayer. This is why we always pray for you, asking God to help you live the kind of life He called you to live. We pray that with His power, God will help you do good things you want and perform the works that come from your faith. Notice, it talks about doing the good things, performing the works. That's the good works that He has prepared in advance for you to do. God says, listen, I'm going to give you the power. Paul was praying. He says, I want to pray that you have the power to do what? To live out your calling, the power to live your calling, to not just live the life you way, the way you want to live it, but to live for the purpose for which I have created you, the purpose for which I have created your life. I want to empower you to live out your calling. Now, friends, if we look around, this world is broken. This world needs Jesus. This world needs Jesus. And Jesus already came in human form, and then He ascended to the Father. And you know what He did? He put that work in our hands. So when we look around and we go, who's going to do something about this? Jesus, are you going to do something about this? He says, I want to. I want to do it through you. Are you willing? Are you open? Are you open to discovering the call that I have on your life? Man, you can count on God and His strength. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 reminds us, the one who calls you is faithful and He will do it. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. How many know the Lord will do it? The Lord will do it. The Lord will do it. So friends, as we talked about earlier, I think God has already called us. The phone is ringing. The phone is ringing. Will you pick it up and answer? Will you pick it up and answer? I'm going to invite the worship team to come because I want to spend a little time reflecting on the altar around this. But will you pick up the phone when God calls? God has already called. God has already called you. God, before you were even born, God had a plan and a purpose and a calling for your life. Your calling is different from your job. Your calling is different. Your vocation is different from your job. What is God really calling you to do? Now, He can use your job. He can use you in your job. But sometimes He has some things beyond that. Things He's been putting in your heart that He wants to do in you beyond that. And that phone's been ringing. It's been ringing, ringing, ringing. And God's saying, are you going to pick it up? Maybe it's like a door He's been knocking. He says, are you going to open it? Are you going to open it? Will you surrender your life to the calling of God? Will you say, Lord, I want to pray and I want to discover what is your call in my life? What's your call in my life? What's your call? Begins with surrender. And the first call is a call to give your life to Jesus Christ, to finally surrender your life and say, Jesus, I need to give my life to you. That's the first calling. The first calling is to give our life to Christ. And then what is God calling you to? What is the work that He wants you to do? Maybe there's some preparation before that. Maybe there's some healing that needs to be done. Maybe there's some confession. Maybe you know Christ, but the way you're living right now, you can't exercise your call because there's sin in your life. You're not right with God. God has set you apart, but you haven't been walking set apart. You've been walking in sin. You've been walking in the ways of the world. And before God can use you, He's got to deal with that in you so it doesn't become a stumbling block later on. What is it? What's in your life that's prohibiting you from walking in your call? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's guilt from the past. What is it that's keeping you from walking in your call? What's keeping you from walking in your purpose? Maybe you need to hear it. Today, as we just want to worship the Lord as we close, I want you to begin to think about that. And I want to invite you to come and seek the Lord at the altar. It was at an altar that God spoke to me. It doesn't have to be camp. There's nothing special about camp. It's all about the presence of God. And part of the surrender is I responded by coming and spending some time listening and tuning in the voice of the Holy Spirit. We usually close at noon, and we've got some time, and I did that intentionally because I want you to respond and hear the call of God.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.